Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Yeah, Kathy mentioned that we were off last week at a conference in Albuquerque. We had a great time. Peg and Bill went with us. It was a wonderful weekend of study and interaction. We had the opportunity to be with people like Richard Rohr and Barbara Brown Taylor and Brian McLaren and Barbara Holmes. It was a wonderful weekend. Before that, some of the other Sundays I wasn't here. I was with pastoral colleagues once in North Carolina and once in Colorado for some annual pastoral retreats I attend. And we all read the same books and have lively conversations about people like Tillich and Nadia Boltz-Weber and several other theologians and pastoral writers. So it was an enriching time to be away. But it's good to be back. I'm going to start off this morning with a story that's kind of hard to tell for me. This happened, maybe 8-10 years ago. I can't quite... part of this I've tried to block out of my memory, I think, so I can't quite put a time frame on it, but I want to say 8-10 years ago. I was the pastor at Capitol Hill Presbyterian in Washington, D.C. one day when a phone call came in one morning, and for those of you who have been around a church office, maybe even any kind of office, you get a whole lot of phone calls, and there are kind of levels of discernment in these phone calls. Well, anyway, this phone call finally made it to my phone, and I took the call, and it was a young man calling, and immediately, I heard the fear in his voice. It was intense fear. And all he said, nearly at the verge of tears, is, "Pastor, I need help. Me and my family were traveling. Our car broke down. We're out in the middle of I don't even know where in West Virginia. Our car got towed in, and I'm afraid." I said, so are you in danger? What are you afraid of? And he says, "Well, we're African American. And we're at this little garage, and this guy has us captive." And I said, "Well, why are you calling me?" And he said, "Well, I was in your worship service on Easter. And I had a bulletin in our glove box, and I didn't know what else to do." He says, I don't have enough money to get out of here. All the cash I had, he will not take a credit card. Can you help me?" I said, "I don't know." Well, to make a long story short, we went back and forth, he and I, and this whole time he nearly broke down in tears several times. And finally, I heard a voice kind of in the background. It's a voice that's very familiar to me as a Southerner growing up in a small Southern town. And it was a male's voice, and he said, "Boy, we ain't got all day. Are you getting that money?" And my sort of meter went up. And he said, yes, sir, I'm doing everything I can. And he came back, and I said, let me talk to that guy. So I got on the phone and started talking with him, and I could kind of speak his language. And we came to an agreement that I was going to get the money to him somehow. It wasn't a lot of money. It was under $100. I was going to get that to him so that that man and his family could get out of there. So we made arrangements, me and this guy, for me to wire some money through the red phone at Walmart. Anybody familiar with the red phone at Walmart? You can send money over the red phone from one Walmart to another Walmart. And you just have to have the proper identification and all these things. So I finally just rounded it up and said, I'm going to send $100. I sent it, and I said, want to know as soon as you get this. So I sent it, and I didn't hear back from him. So I called the number, didn't get an answer. Called the number again, didn't get an answer. And then it hit me. I had been scammed. It was probably the most realistic scam I have ever run into. Now, most of you know I had a career in the theater, and I can spot bad acting just like that. Whew, these folks were good. They were good. I went on the internet and just Googled and found out, yeah, this same scam had been happening. Checked with some pastor friends around. Anyway, you see, that's kind of hard for me to tell. Okay, it's hard. You know, there's this saying going around. It's easier to be fooled than it is to admit that you've been fooled. And I will confess, I won't go into detail, but I have been scammed other times as a pastor. But most of the time, I kind of got an inkling that that's what's happening. But I always try to err on the side of grace and mercy. Sometimes you never know, and sometimes you do. But at the core of this whole little story I'm telling you, and the reason I'm telling you is how do you know what's true? What is truth? This is the question that Pilate asked Jesus in the passage that we just read. And it is perhaps the question of our time. The question of the world we live in this day of so many sources of information that come from so many different perspectives. What is truth? What is true? Now, we can look it up in the dictionary, and basically we would all agree that truth is something that's real, it's genuine, it's actual, verifiable. Those are some things that we associate with truth. But in reality, there are different kinds of truth. There's objective truth. Now, objective truth is are those truths that we say are true regardless of perception or sense or knowledge. Truths like, I don't know, the earth is round. The sun is uninhabitable. Those are things that are true regardless of our perception or our knowledge. Then there's subjective truth. These are things that are based on perception, senses, knowledge. Using that same example of the earth being round, it wasn't that long ago, and I say not that long ago in the overall scheme of time, when people thought the earth was flat and believed that to be true. They believed that the earth was the center of our solar system. They believed that to be true. It was shared knowledge and experience and perception. And we call those things subjective truth. So we have these different versions of truth. When I was reading on this just a couple days ago, I ran across a little essay where one philosopher said, all truth is subjective. Because everything comes to us through our senses and through our perception, and that it's all subjective. And then somebody came back and said, well, if all truth is subjective, is that statement then not objective truth? Think about it a minute. So you see, we get caught in the illusion many times that something's true when it's not. Sometimes we confuse facts with truth. There's that old saying of the wise Native American elder who used to begin stories by saying, what I'm about to say may not be factual, but it is true. What is truth? You know, this passage that we read just now from the Gospel of John, here's an interesting little fact, if you will, about this passage. Up until just recently, the oldest known fragment of a New Testament manuscript about the size of a business card was a piece of manuscript dated in Common Era 125. Okay? And that fragment of New Testament manuscript, now mind you, this is the oldest piece of manuscript known, and that piece of manuscript was the passage we just read this morning that ends with, what is truth? Now, since then, they have discovered some manuscripts from Mark that they believe to be older than that. But just the fact that the oldest piece of the New Testament that we have in manuscript form is 125 years after Jesus walked on the earth. And we sometimes use this phrase, preachers do. Now, from the original manuscripts, in the original text, there's no such thing as an original manuscript or an original text to our scriptures. It has been copied and recopied and copied and recopied thousands and thousands of times from one language to another language to another language. And all along that path, the understanding of truth changes depending on who did the translation, who did the transcribing, and of course, who's doing the reading and with and what context that reading is taking place in. So just the fact that we read this scripture here this morning brings us back to this question that's embedded in the story: what is truth? And this conversation that takes place between Jesus and Pilate basically sums up a disconnect between who Jesus claims to be and what he teaches and who people want him to be and what we want to hear. Because Jesus is talking about one thing, Pilate's talking about another thing. Now I wonder if we aren't still caught up in this dilemma in the church, theologically, biblically. And it gets translated into our culture. So you see, for Christians, for us, this whole question about what is truth, I would suggest, really boils down to who is Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who tells Pilate in the story we just heard, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. So if we are to really understand who Jesus is, who Jesus was, who Jesus is today to us, if we are to really hear, notice Jesus says, they listen to my voice. This means not just to physically hear it, but to hear it, to understand it. You know that old saying, and I have to read it because I always get it turned around if I don't. "I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." We chuckle, but that is probably one of the most common dynamics in human communication. Paul Simon put it another way. In a song lyric, he says, "A man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest." So what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to explore this question. We're going to explore this question: what is truth? Because it is not only a foundational question in our faith, but it is a foundational question in our culture. And we're going to explore that from who is Jesus. Jesus says in another place in John, "I am the truth." So in order to know the truth, we need to get to know Jesus a little better. And over the next few Sundays, that's what we will do. And one way we explore truth in our faith tradition is through our liturgy, through our sacraments, through our symbols of worship. And we come together today around the table to enter into one of the ways that we discern and understand what is true. Amen. How many of you remember that old television show, The X-Files? You remember that? Well, for those of you who don't or didn't watch it, at every episode in The X-Files, they made the statement, they said, "The truth is out there." Well, in many ways, that's true. But in other ways, in ways that Jesus tries to lead us, we discover that so often the truth is in here. The truth is in here. Because what's true depends on our perspective. Of course, there are objective truths that are not affected by our perspective, but the large majority of the truth by which we live depends on how we are seeing the world and experiencing ourselves and others. So as we go out there to find the truth, let us always remember that so much of it is right here. Amen.